just in time for kickoff. Hooters' famous saucy wings, delicious seafood, half-pound stacked burgers, and fresh chopped salads. Hooters is honored to serve the Tampa Bay community with delicious take-home and a great place to watch the game with friends and family. Providing that famous neighborhood hospitality only Hooters can deliver. Hooters, proud sponsor of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Visit originalhooters.com for locations near you.
This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Thanks to Hooters for their continuing sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Let me stop right there, because just a subtle reminder that we are in season 7 of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, and Hooters is a presenting sponsor and has been since season 2. I also appreciate the continued backing from Bill Curry Ford and Brandon Legal Group. So I find it comical, childish, petty, that on a JoeBucksFan.com message board response to the previous episode of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, some loser who only identifies by "fire the cannons" question JoeBucksFan.com as to whether anyone listens to this podcast. Now, to Joe Bucks fan's credit, there was an immediate editor response saying, yes, he's been around for many years. It's a fantasy football podcast. Fire the Cannons probably didn't even listen to the podcast, which means I can say whatever I want about this person, because he's a whiny little bitch. He was upset that I said I love Taysom Hill, and I gave you all the reasons why I love Taysom Hill in last week's podcast as it related to what we talk about with fantasy football. Fire the Cannons was butthurt because Taysom Hill doesn't play for the Bucks, you whiny little bitch. You can, if you know who this person is, you can tell him, I answer my own mail. As Pedro Serrano said in Major League, bring that shit to me. Write.todd@yahoo.com. Write.todd@yahoo.com. I'm waiting for you, Fire the Cannons. I'm waiting for you to email me personally, rather than go tell on me and question if anyone listens to this podcast. With that said, let's move on with a recap of Thursday and Sunday action in week 6, recording this on Monday morning. So by the time you hear this, the Monday night game may have already been played between the Chargers and the Broncos on primetime again. Any chance they start clicking for owners of players on the Broncos who are still hanging on to them, hoping something changes? I have no plans to watch this game. This game, as much as I love watching Justin Herbert, because the Broncos are in it, and I always watch primetime football, always, Thursday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, Monday night, I may actually give the Yankees-Indians, yes, that's what they have always been to me, baseball game, since it's an elimination game, more of a chance to hold my attention before flipping over to Chargers and Broncos. That's how much I am pushed away by the Broncos being on primetime again. And I love watching Justin Herbert. I'm sure that would upset Fire the Cannons too. Why does he love a Chargers quarterback? Whiny little bitch. Tell him. Tell him to bring it to me. I handle my own business. Write.todd@yahoo.com. Does anyone listen to this? Apparently, or Hooters wouldn't have been sponsoring it, and we wouldn't be in our seventh season. Hooters bought, what, 55 episodes this year? We did 60 last year. They paid for 50. I gave them 60. So we split the difference this year. They bought 55 episodes. Now, clearly no one's listening. So let's keep going for those who actually do. All right, so let's recap. Starting on Thursday night, just quick observations on each team and what it may mean for now and going forward. Speaking of awful primetime games, Amazon had another one on Thursday night, 12-7 between Washington and Chicago, two teams going nowhere. One with a quarterback who looks much older than he is, and one with a quarterback who plays the game like he's a kid on the playground, and that's not good. Robinson, good story. Happy to see him healthy and productive. Some wonder why it's at the expense of Antonio Gibson, who looked more explosive in the game. But Robinson did have 17 carries for 60 yards and a touchdown. He's rosterable at this point. I even roster him in one of my leagues. He might be a guy over the next couple of weeks that if I have one of my starting running backs on a bye, I may get away with playing Robinson just because of the volume he's going to get in this lousy offense. Khalil Herbert, 7 carries, 75 yards. One was enormous. One was like 60-plus yards, and then they gave him a chance on the goal line to punch it in, and he didn't do it. Had he done it, that would have gone a long way. This is the second straight coaching staff where, for some reason, Herbert can't convince them to give him more opportunities, more offensive snaps, even when David Montgomery is healthy. I'm on record. I think David Montgomery is a terrific athlete. And I think in a better situation, Montgomery would produce more. But when you have Herbert, I think you have to play him. Look, Green Bay even got creative this year. And I know the Packers had another bad loss over the weekend. But they know that Dillon and Jones are two of their best offensive players. So they put them both on the field at the same time to get their offensive snap count up. That's what the Bears should be doing with two athletic, talented running backs, because the Bears run the ball more than any team in the National Football League, because Justin Fields can't play professional quarterback, and he doesn't seem to have much interest in really doing the work to become that quarterback, and this is his second coaching staff. Baltimore, there's Lamar Jackson blowing another double-digit lead in the second half. You wonder why the Ravens haven't thrown $250 million guaranteed at him? There's another reason. Mark Andrews, though, the beneficiary of Lamar Jackson, looking to him consistently. Andrews, 7 catches, 106, and 1 touchdown, as Andrews and Kelsey continue to be the only two tight ends worthy of your time on a regular basis, which is why you play a wide receiver tight end flex instead of a mandatory tight end, like I told you so in last week's podcast. The Giants, Daniel Jones, I'm going to use him next week because Jalen Hurts is on a bye. He's playing the Jaguars. Jones didn't do much with his legs in this game, just 6 for 6, but he threw for 173 and 2 touchdowns. And clearly, Daniel Jones wants to be coached, and Dable is coaching him. Funny how that works, where Justin Herbert isn't being coached, doesn't want to be coached, and the coaches don't seem to be getting through to him. Jacksonville, the ascension of Travis Etienne continues at the expense of James Robinson. I continue to wonder if something's wrong with James Robinson, and we're just not hearing about it. ATN, 12 touches, 108 yards. Indianapolis won the game. There were a lot of things I could pull out of this game, But I think for most of you, the fact that Michael Pittman had a big game is most significant. He's the most rostered Colt other than Jonathan Taylor. And this was his biggest game of the year, 13 for 134. New England at Cleveland. I own Ramondre in all my leagues. And with Damian Harris out and off a big game last week, and with so much buzz about Ramondre going into this game, I thought, oh, is he going to get Belichicked? You know, like the Jonas Gray thing where Gray scores four touchdowns and then you almost never hear of him again. And I just kept telling myself, no. Belichick knows what an athlete Stevenson is with a rookie quarterback like Zappe and no Damian Harris. Belichick will make sure that Patricia and Judge keep Ramondre on the field and keep him involved. And there aren't any tricks here. And there weren't. 23 touches for Stevenson, 91 yards, two touchdowns as New England won under Zappe again. Cleveland, this is probably as bad as it gets for Chubb and Hunt. Chubb 12 for 56, Hunt for 4 for 12. Yeah, that's bad for them. I don't think it'll get any worse. And Hunt hasn't really done anything since week one. Ja'Marr Chase got it going. I've been very critical of Chris Sims in the past, who seems to say things to try to be clicky. Hi, I'm on TV. Hi, I'm on Peacock. He's even starting to swear on that show. I heard him use the word shitty last week. It is fun, isn't it, Chris, when you can swear? He said Ja'Marr Chase runs two routes. And even I'm like, the Bengals are, Chase is too good. Zach Taylor's too smart. Joe Burrow's too good to not figure out how to adjust Chase against opposing defenses that bracket him. 7 for 132 and two touchdowns for Ja'Marr Chase. Finally giving owners of Ja'Marr Chase what they spent their number one pick on in the fantasy draft. New Orleans, Kamara got going. I actually know an owner who has both Chase and Kamara who's been dying this year. Ironically, he still lost his game in one of my leagues. I believe that was the foundation. But Kamara, 19 carries, 99 yards, six catches for 25. That's the best Kamara game in a while. And I did crap out on Taysom Hill, but I had to play him for a third week in a row. Had to do it. It's interesting to me how Sean Payton is using Taysom Hill. It's not just on the goal line. It's not just fourth and one type plays. The Saints seem to be, at least they did in the Bengals game, they'll start a drive. They'll start a possession. And Andy Dalton will run a play. And then they take Dalton out or split him out. I don't know if he leaves the field. Taysom Hill comes in and runs the second play. They did that either two or three times against the Bengals. One time Hill popped it for like a 30-yard run. But no touchdowns for Taysom Hill this particular week. Tampa Bay Buccaneers in their trap game loss at Pittsburgh. One offensive TD for the Bucs again. I think that's four out of five games this year the Bucs have one offensive TD. Fournette has the big fantasy game, 27 touches, 101 yards, and he had that one touchdown. We told you to bench Najee Harris. He got double-digit points barely. 14 carries, 42 yards, two catches for 7 yards, and a touchdown receiving. Not much to go on for next week for Harris. 16 touches, 49 yards, and a touchdown. You don't want Najee being touchdown dependent. San Francisco, Atlanta. Ayuk and Kittle both went 8 for 83. Only Niners to do anything of any consequence in a bad game for San Francisco. Ayuk had the two scores. Kittle did not. It's still an encouraging sign for Kittle owners who are stuck in a mandatory tight end league by an outdated commissioner. Drake London, Atlanta just... last couple weeks, and they were down 21-0 to the Bucs, and they kept running the ball. I'm not saying the party's over for Drake London, but things have quieted down. Three catches, 40 yards. we might have to evaluate now week to week on whether Drake London is worth playing as a wide receiver three or a flex option. Jets win again. They have four wins this season. It was all Breece Hall. 22 touches, 121 yards, one touchdown. I wish I owned him. Tried to get him via trade a couple of weeks ago. Couldn't do it. I did get Alan Lazard via trade a couple of weeks ago. He is a very touchdown-dependent wideout. But who else is Aaron Rodgers going to throw to in the end zone? This is more about Aaron Rodgers than it's about Alan Lazard. And Lazard got me one again. 4 for 76 and a touchdown. I think it was Mike Clay on Fantasy Football Now on Sunday morning who said something about Lazard's games and over. I forget what the sample size was. And going into this game, it was like 66% of his games, he scored a touchdown. So that only goes up now. We're going to talk about another guy who's like that before we leave you today. Minnesota. Jefferson did his thing, didn't score, but still plenty of catches and yardage. Dalvin Cook. We don't talk very much about him here, but he's still a very startable running back. I think he's more of a high RB2 than an RB1, but you'll take 13 for 77 and a touchdown in that offense. Heard a lot of buzz last week about Raheem Mostert. I didn't buy it. Mostert went 14 for 49, caught one ball for minus 1 yard in a game where Miami had all sorts of questions at quarterback. That's where you want to lean on a running back who's worth a damn. And that's what Mostert did. He produced 48 yards on 15 touches. I still don't get it with Mostert. Carolina at LA. Christian McCaffrey's audition for a trade to the Rams went like this. 13 carries, 69 yards, 7 catches, 89 yards. Yes, I think McCaffrey will end up with the Rams. I acknowledge there's a chance he will end up with the Bills. But I think the Rams are more likely to make the big move. And not just for this year. Thinking McCaffrey has 3-4 more good years in him. You know, if he stays healthy, he stayed healthy this year for the most part after the last 2 years. Higbee, 1 for 7. I'd have been hanging on to Higbee in one of my leagues just because of the volume, but he doesn't score. In the red zone, it's Cooper Kupp or whatever running back can just plunge it in from 2 yards out. Last year, there was Sony Michel, and they don't have him anymore. Higbee, 1 for 7 in this game. Another one of those tight end teases. Hollywood Brown in Arizona-Seattle game. Hollywood Brown had, through the first 5 weeks, had gotten up in my scoring settings to, I think, wide receiver 7. Might have been wide receiver 6 with Kelsey ahead of him in my wide receiver tight end pass catcher rankings. Hollywood 5 for 68. Didn't score. Not awful. Not double digits. Hopkins comes back next week. I'm just not sure what to make of Brown. If that's the high water mark last week before Hopkins returns, Kyler rushed for 100 in this game. For people that jumped on Benjamin on a waiver wire pickup, it didn't work. Seattle, Ken Walker, 21 for 97 and 1, caught 2 for 13. Finally, I got a kicker right. I picked up Seattle's kicker this week and just said to myself, you know what? He's at home. The weather's good. Arizona stinks. Pete Carroll's an old school coach. He takes 3 when he can get it. It worked out. Buffalo, here's the Alan Lazard analogy. Gabe Davis. Gabe Davis makes bigger plays, but he's as touchdown dependent as Alan Lazard is. And it works. 3 for 74 and a touchdown. Note both Gabe Davis, Alan Lazard play with, I'll say it, Hall of Fame quarterbacks. One old, one young. Doesn't hurt. Kansas City. I've been beating up Juju Smith-Schuster all year. He had his biggest fantasy game, 5 for 113 and 1. Watch the touchdown and tell me if it isn't a little unique. That two defenders kind of ran into each other. Give credit for Juju staying on his feet and then having no one between him and the end zone. But it wasn't like that play was designed for Juju to score on. And I think that's one of his biggest issues, that he's sort of a short yardage type receiver. And I question how often he's going to get to double-digit points this year. That play got him there, though. Finally, the Sunday night game, which looked like a blowout, and then Dallas kept fighting, got back in it, and then their defense couldn't make a stop. Yeah. Dallas defense came up small. Eagles offense with a big drive once Dallas had cut it to 3. Ezekiel Elliott, 13 for 81 and 1. It's not pretty. But as the Ezekiel Elliott era in Dallas comes to an end, Ezekiel Elliott's still playing hard. The key touchdown that put away the game after the Cowboys had made it 20-17 was a really neat play to attack the Cowboy defense by Jalen Hurts to Devontae Smith, who's getting in the end zone more frequently now than he did last year. 5 for 44 and a touchdown. Of course, A.J. Brown got a touchdown as well. Miles Sanders keeps producing at an RB2 level, in my opinion, for the Eagles, even though Jalen Hurts likes to keep the ball and run it himself. I'll answer any of your personal fantasy questions at write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com. Thank you for listening to Season 7, Episode 38 of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. We'll talk to you next time.